Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Come on, you're kidding me. Who is the governor of California? You mean it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yesterday during the program, we got tweets and emails saying, tell Bob that Jerry Brown is the governor of California. And that was a program that we aired back when Arnold was still the governor. So that came from about a decade ago. Very interesting show. But today is August 8th, 2017. And just to prove that it really is today, we'll do some updates from the news. In fact, what I'd like to do is talk about some of the news topics that we have been highlighting over the last year and presenting a biblical worldview on them, so that as these things come up in conversation, we could use the influence that we have to affect people for eternity. Because when we advocate things that are wrong, that are immoral, and then we share the gospel, well, our credibility has already been undermined, our veracity, our trustworthiness. So it's so important to know what we're talking about and to have a biblical worldview, and then to attempt to influence people to understand what is right and to oppose what is wrong. So what have we been talking about over this last year, aside from, of course, the fundamental moral issues, the Christian gospel, the scriptures? But how about the items in the news, like Venezuela's collapse, which is right on schedule? And back in the middle of September last year, we called for a humanitarian military intervention to save 1 million people, men, women, and children, from starving to death in that socialist paradise of Venezuela. So that's all on schedule. We've been talking about preparing for war with North Korea and the moral justification for why that is right. Aside from the fact that it would be gross negligence to let a madman have a nuclear weapon that he could use against the Japanese people, against South Koreans, against Americans. Of course, liberals don't care too much about that. For liberals, you have to remind them that a direct hit from a nuclear weapon is not good for endangered species. You have to remind liberals that it's not eco-friendly to nuke these poor little creatures that will also get radiated in a nuclear blast. Okay, so North Korea, aside from the threat to their neighbors, they have 25 million people there enslaved, incarcerated. And of course, they have, many of them, the Stockholm Syndrome, which they will defend their captors. But as communist nations do, they've turned their entire nation into a prison, and that's because freedom and equality are mutually exclusive. And if your primary goal is equality, then you have to rob people of freedom to try to force them to be equal. Okay, what else have we been talking about? The cancer treatment revolution. I've got some news on that topic that I'd like to share with you. That's the immunotherapy, targeted antibodies. We have predicted a major decrease in death from cancer in this country and then around the world also. The attempted Islamification of the West, the reasons to keep your kids out of public school, we're up to what? Today, if we get to it, reason number 1,163. So what else do we have? Oh, the unintended consequences of abortion. Of course, the intended consequence is to kill the child. So that's devastating. But then there's also the suffering of the children later born to the mom who's had an abortion, who's killed her child. because of the dramatic increase in premature births to women who've had abortions. And so now, what is it? The number one cause of death of babies and toddlers in the world is now premature birth, the number one cause of death. More than 1 million children a year dying, suffering, and dying. And there is an explosion in premature birth. These little kids, these preemies, who end up, so many of them, suffering and dying. And it's to a significant part because of Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry and the Republican Party, which has fully funded the abortion industry in America through October 1st. So far, right? So far, in the first half of the Trump administration, their first shot at it. And what did they do? They gave to Planned Parenthood the Obama abortion budget. Obama's dream of fully funding Planned Parenthood, the Trump administration, they matched him. They matched him. And on social spending, we've been topping Obama. Back when Obama was spending like a drunken sailor, I hate to insult sailors that way, but we would say on the air now and then, don't tell Obama what comes after a trillion, because he'd want to spend it. And we'd say, we know that there has been this pattern of Republicans outspending all previous administrations, including the previous Democratic administration, on social programs since World War II. So the Republicans like to say that the Democrats are big spenders. The Republicans have always outspent the Democrats, always. And so far, I recall at the time saying it's hard to imagine that a future Republican administration could outspend Obama, but I have faith in the Republican Party. I really do. I mean, it seems completely beyond human accomplishment, but something tells me that they just might pull it off. And so far, they're paying for children to be dismembered and to be killed with chemical weapons. And so it's just all devastating. Okay, so which of these do we want to dive into more? Oh, cancer treatment. The cancer treatment revolution is truly stunning. In fact, we have made a prediction here that cancer in the U.S., which has long been the second leading cause of death here in America, nearly 600,000 people dying annually from cancer. Of course, whenever you hear these statistics, they don't count abortion. So we should always include abortion, but let me continue with this. Cancer, long been the second leading cause of death in the U.S., our prediction is that it will drop below stroke, which is currently the fifth leading cause of death, about 130,000 deaths per year, by the year 2025. That is a prediction. We've made many predictions on this program. Many of them, and some of the most extraordinary predictions, have been confirmed. You find those at kgov.com/predictions. Well, something that's been happening in the world of immunotherapy, this is thrilling, and it comes from the former president of Facebook, right? We all know Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook. Well, a guy named Sean Parker is a billionaire, and he made his money before he became the president of Facebook. He was the founder of Napster. Remember Napster? And he just made, obviously, billions of dollars on these dot-coms. And he pledged $250 million. It's a quarter of $1 billion to do something that is absolutely brilliant. I mean, I'm just thrilled that he has done this. I don't know much about his personal life, and probably he wouldn't be accepted in tech circles if he had a Christian worldview. So I can't speak to that. I haven't researched his life, but I want to talk about what he's doing with this clearinghouse that he has formed. a major clearinghouse for the scientists and the major cancer centers that are on the cutting edge of targeted antibody treatment to cure cancer. And so here's the idea. Typically, you've got a university, whether it's Stanford or MIT or wherever, and they're trying to come up with a cure for maybe one of the thousand different kinds of cancers that there are. And they think, not only do we want to help people, but we'd like to make money on this too. So if we're able to cure, let's say, triple negative breast cancer, wow, that'd be just phenomenal. And we probably would make tens of millions of dollars or more, and we could use that money also to help more people and to cure more disease and so on. So the profit motive is absolutely fine. It's part of a biblical worldview. But the scientists who are doing this, trying to discover a cure for any of a number of cancers, then what do they have to do? Then they have to patent it, and they have to market it. They have to try to enter into a contract with a pharmaceutical company or some way to monetize their discovery. And that's difficult. And they're all competing against one another, all these major institutions and thousands of researchers. And the competition is good, but also they tend to hide their discoveries from one another. So what Sean Parker did was to create the Parker Institute for Cancer Immunotherapy. Already, he has many of the major cancer centers signed up, and the companies, the research firms, the top scientists in England, here in the U.S., and the kinds of groups that have signed up so far. Sloan Kettering in New York, Stanford, UCLA, University of Pennsylvania, University of California, San Francisco. These are the groups that are the MD Anderson in Houston, major cancer centers that are all on the cutting edge of targeted antibody treatment, using your body's own immune system to attack and even destroy the cancer and cure cancer patients. His plan was this. Guys, I'm not just giving you an idea. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. We've got $250 million to fund this institute. And every research organization, the scientists who join it, we all share our discoveries. And whichever, if it's Stanford or if it's Sloan Kettering in New York, if you make a discovery and you're able to cure, let's say, prostate cancer, then the institute, you don't have to go through all the overhead and the paperwork, the patent application, the contracts with the pharmaceutical companies, all that. This clearinghouse will do all that work. You only have to focus on the research, the science, helping cure people from these horrific diseases. You do that, and we will do the rest. And I just think it's absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's another reason for our prediction that cancer deaths will plummet by the end of 2025. There's something else that Sean Parker has done, and this will scare people. It is scary, but it's also fabulous. Tools could be used for good or for evil. And that's true of science, medical research, molecular science, molecular biology. There's a technology we have talked about on Bob and Yurt Live over the last year called CRISPR. And CRISPR is a way to very economically modify a genome, modify the DNA of an organism, whether the organism is fungus growing in a petri dish, or if it's a lab rat, or if it's a human being. And CRISPR, we've described it on the show in the past, and so what Sean Parker has done is he's funding the first human trials using CRISPR to go after three kinds of cancer: myeloma, melanoma, and sarcoma. And these are just I mean, these cancers are devastating. Myeloma attacks a type of a white blood cell in the bone marrow. And then once it gets a hold, it goes after the bones, the immune system, the kidneys, messes up your red blood count. Real terrible stuff. So these cancers are horrific. And so Sean Parker has funded this effort to combine the tool known as CRISPR with targeted antibodies, using your immune system to attack the cancer cells, to attack the tumors, and see what happens. And I'll tell you, CRISPR, the way they discovered it, if I recall the particulars, it was believed, as evolutionists so often do, they were looking in the genome of a bacteria, and they saw all this junk, and they said, this is all junk. This is junk. It had all this repetition in its genetic letters. It was obviously just junk, they thought. You know, the human genome, they've told us, is 98% junk. Well, it turns out that, according to the journal Nature, 440 researchers published a paper saying they, so far, they have found functionality for 80% of the human genome. And the head of the project, and they published this paper just a few years ago, said he thinks that the number is going to approach 100% functionality of our DNA in the human genome. And of course, the evolutionists, the atheists, they say life is just a series of undirected physical and chemical reactions. And so they expect life to be a kludge. They don't expect it to be brilliance, but it is brilliance. Life is evidence of the brilliant creator. So they found this DNA in bacteria, and they thought, well, this is just junk. Until they kept studying this junk, because sometimes there's researchers who are tenacious, and they said, wait a minute, this junk, it isn't junk. It's a molecular scissors. It goes in, and let's say a virus comes and attacks the bacteria. It attaches itself to a certain sequence in the DNA of the virus. It attaches, and then it cuts the virus. It snips it, like with scissors. It snips the DNA. And then you could use CRISPR to snip DNA and to insert new coding into where you snipped it. That's phenomenal. And that's what they thought was junk, right? This is God's brilliance in his design in the area of molecular biology. Well, what they very quickly realized is we could use this as a tool as we attempt to cure genetic diseases. And with the human immune system being so brilliant, so powerful, I mean, you cannot defeat the human immune system when it's targeted and you take off the brakes. It just wipes out cancer. But because the medical community and the biology community throughout the 1900s were insisting that we human beings were poorly designed, there was only a small minority of scientists who thought that our immune system really might be able to fight cancer. So instead of putting enormous effort into immunotherapy and targeted antibody treatment using our own immune system against this enemy, this cancer enemy, instead they went for what? Chemotherapy, radiation therapy, poisons. And they hope to just kill the bad cells, but they kill a lot of good stuff too. So what this CRISPR immunotherapy project is doing is they're identifying patients with melanoma, sarcoma, myeloma, where the cancer cells could be specifically targeted if you have the right sequence of amino acids in the proteins in your antibodies so that they'll lock on to the cancer cells. And they're using CRISPR to then modify your own immune system, your own immune cells, your own antibodies, and then your body will begin to produce that cure itself. And so far, the success in so many trials with immunotherapy, targeted antibodies, has been so phenomenal that it truly is a revolution in cancer treatment and cancer cures. Now, not everybody responds well, of course. Some people have died from the treatment, which is tragic. But most of the studies that I've read, they've taken people with stage 3, stage 4 cancers, where they're on death's doorstep. And they're the ones that they have admitted into these studies. And so many people who were looking at death have recovered, and some fully recovered. If you're interested in finding out more about that topic, I encourage you to go to our website, kgov.com/targeted antibodies. Just absolutely stunning. We give a good rundown of all the developments, all the kinds of cancers that are currently being successfully treated with immunotherapy, and all the studies that are underway. It will blow your mind, the progress. And so with Sean Parker, with his role so far, I mean, CRISPR is scary for very good reasons. I mean, there are plenty of Muslims who want to destroy the Jews, wipe out the Jews. Well, Jews have genetic markers where you can identify, okay, you look at the DNA of someone and you can find out, oh, he's Jewish. In fact, the Book of Mormon claims that American Indians are Jewish. That's ridiculous. And they're not. And genetically, they're not. But what if some oil sheik in, let's say, Yemen, hires molecular biologist from the UAE, United Arab Emirates, who got their degrees at Stanford and at Harvard, and now they're living back in the Middle East, and they're Muslims, and they hire them to create biological weapons to use CRISPR to identify only Jewish DNA markers and insert a harmful genetic sequence, or maybe even a lethal genetic sequence. And then when they do that, and this is extremely inexpensive to use CRISPR, you could actually buy a CRISPR set for $1,000 and do genetic modification of, let's say, yeast cells in your kitchen. You could do that. It's available. It's on the internet. When I first heard that, I didn't believe it. And then I went and looked and I thought, well, if I had $1,000 to spare, I could get my own CRISPR lab. So it is certainly plausible for Muslims to fund a genetically modified bacteria that is inert to the rest of the world. It wouldn't affect anyone, but when the bacteria comes in your body and multiplies itself by billions and billions of copies, and if it finds in your nucleus of your cells a Jewish genetic marker, it attaches, it snips the DNA, and inserts some harmful genetic code. This is the kind of nightmare future. I mean, that's just right around the corner. But every day we see in the news, we see all around us, just the most horrific current events. Absolutely horrific. But I'm thrilled with the positive aspects of this and Sean Parker's work forming this immunotherapy clearinghouse and then this human trial. So we'll keep you up to date on these matters. Also, that I mentioned the attempted Islamification of the West. You probably heard the story a week ago of a young Muslim man in Ohio, 24 years old. And he was arrested for threats on members of the military that threatened to kill our soldiers and their families in the name of ISIS. So 24 years old, the threats, they're credible. He gets arrested and he's convicted. So he's being sentenced. And the federal judge, this is in Ohio, U.S. District Judge Dan Polster, the judge gives the guy a 20-year prison sentence. Now, death would have been the correct sentence, but he gave him a 20-year sentence. And what this Muslim said to the court and to the judge, he said, "Nothing you did today even matters. This is meaningless. You will be punished. We will wait for the punishment of Allah to afflict you, either by himself or through the hands of the Muslims." So basically, he's asking other Muslims, if you could, would you come and kill this judge for me? That's what he's asking them. Could you imagine if a pro-lifer had said that? By the hands of other pro-lifers, you're going to get it, judge. Could you imagine? That would be front page news all over the country. But here's what this judge responded. The judge's name, I said it was Polster, Dan Polster. You know, a pollster, that's like somebody who takes surveys, right? He's a which way Dan or which way the wind blows pollster. Anyway, our judges are so politically correct. He says to this Muslim, "Well, I respect your opinion." And then he went on to say why he was glad, though, that he gave him a 20-year sentence. "But I respect your opinion." What does that mean? So if it was a Nazi there who said, "We need to kill all Jews," this idiot judge would say, "I respect your opinion." Because these Muslim terrorists, ISIS, they want to kill all Jews. And they'd like to kill all Christians also. I mean, unless you're willing to live subjugated to them under Sharia law and pay their Sharia-ordained fine for not being a Muslim every year, then okay, they'll let you live like a second-class human being. But this judge, to say, "I respect your opinion," it is so bizarre. It is absolutely true that he doesn't respect all opinions. That's just a lie. This is a show. This is political correctness where people no longer know right from wrong. Okay, our reason number 1,163 to keep your kids out of public school. And if your children have been going to public school, right now, it's Wednesday afternoon, 5:30 Eastern time, 5:30. Are they in school right now, this very moment? No? Well, keep them out. That means if they're supposed to be there tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, don't let them be there. Just let them be dropouts. Take them out. Homeschool them. Anyway, here's another report. Teacher has sex with a 16-year-old student in an airplane in the bathroom. They're on a 2-week school trip. They're drinking whiskey. They have sex. They're traveling for charity. It's just, I mean, it's never ending. Hey, God bless you guys.
Hello, I'm Josh Craddock, and at 14 years old, I'm a little partial to Bob and Yart's manuscript, The Plot, since I helped with The Plot Boys, a series of audio Bible studies for junior high and high school students like me who want to dig deeper and better understand the Bible. The Plot is an overview of the entire Bible, because once you understand the overview of the Bible, then you have the key to understanding its details, and that's what makes the entire Bible fun to read. So please order your copy of The Plot today. Call 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to kgov.com. That's kgov.com. And remember, your support, both prayerfully and financially, keeps Bob and Yart live on the air. Thank you.